The next is avoiding of jargon. Jargon is basically some words which pertain to a particular profession which cannot be understood by the layman or a person who is outside that profession. So this is particularly important if your area of expertise or study is different than the job function or industry you are targeting. So if you've added some elements from your previous area of expertise and you are targeting a different area of expertise or industry, then if you put any jargon, they will be not intelligible, not understood by people who will recruit you. Make sure your resume is understandable to somebody in the field you are pursuing. That's exactly what I have just mentioned. Do not play down your experience by overloading your resume with university language or with language which is full of jargons. The next part is to break up long sentences. So here what you can do is you can read your statements aloud. Your voice will tell you where a natural break should occur. For example, a poor way of writing a sentence would be, direct management responsibilities over 7 committees and 30 volunteers responsible for budget, fundraising, publicity, entertainment and promotion of annual techno exhibition. A definitely better way of rephrasing it, looking at it, is managed annual techno exhibition staff of 30 volunteers on 7 committees. Scope of committees covered budget, fundraising, publicity, entertainment and promotion. So if you see, the sentences have been reduced to a very crisp form. There are a lot of action and verbs there. There are such things which actually help you create impact rather than looking at long sentences. The next part of composition and editing is the use of keywords. Employers who have in-house electronic resume databases with tracking systems use keyword searches to find candidates who fit their criteria. Most systems will find derivations of keywords. You may want to create several resumes that include different keywords if you are job searching in a few key areas. Few career areas. Another alternative is to attach a separate page to your resume containing a keyword list. This is especially important for technical resumes. So keywords are extremely important because they inform the person who is reviewing the resume of what skills you actually possess at a glance. Now we shall take a look at the resume format specifications, the general guidelines for the same. So there are a number of good resume formats. The key is to pick one and stay focused and consistent with it. Keep in mind that you may need to create several different resumes. One polished resume that you would submit by mail or in person, and one that is ready for electronic transfer or scanning. So there are these two different purposes for two different varieties of resumes to exist. In this context, you need to think of your resume as an outline. There should be consistent formatting among items that relate to each other, such as major headings or job titles. Headings should intuitively indicate the content in each section and should stand out from the body text. Think of the headings as clear signposts to indicate the path through your resume. So it's extremely important for you to do this. Use bold type to highlight schools, titles, or employer names in a consistent way throughout your resume. Used selectively, it can add to the readability of your text. So the bold actually helps people identify what are the important headers. Overused, it decreases the impact. So your resume might look dirty or shabby if it's used everywhere, if it's overused. Do not use underlining, it clutters the text and does not scan well. So in scanning, in the OCR or the object, the character recognition mode, the lines may create havoc. Put cities, states, and dates in the same place consistently throughout the resume. They do not have to be in an attention-grabbing position, just easy to find when the employer starts looking for them. The other general guideline is related to the size and the length of the paper that will be used for a particular resume. So the standard global norm is the use of a standard A4 sized paper and limit resume to one page. Some employers do not mind two-page resumes. However, the majority of employers say that they want one-page documents. So it is recommended to go on the short side here. Regarding the quality of the paper, be careful with the paper color, because your resume may be faxed, emailed, scanned, or copied by an employer. So it is suggested you stay with a white or cream colored paper and avoid textures. Okay, use a high quality bond resume paper, and with the advent of scanning, it is now preferable to mail your resume flat in a large envelope. So this is what is required of the quality, the size, and the length of the paper. The next thing is the font. Use the same font style throughout your resume. Changing fonts decreases the readability and clutters the text. So there's a tendency to clutter the text if there are a variety of fonts used. It is acceptable only when done effectively by those seeking graphic design jobs. So people who are in the field of art, like graphic designers or artists, those people can use varied fonts because they have a good sense of aesthetics, they have a good idea, and the people who will study the resume will want to look at such functionality, such qualities from their resume. So use capital letters or bold or italic font to emphasize information on your resume. Now, regarding the margins, the minimum is 1/2 inch on all four sides. If you can expand the margins to 3/4 inch or 1 inch, all the better. Overall, you want everything to be balanced on the page. Next element that we are going to look at is clutter. In this context, many candidates think that they need to make their resume stand out visually by using unusual type, oversized type, or lines to separate sections. This clutters the resume and tends to confuse the scanners. In this context, it's good or recommended to stick to a basic style and size for a clean, crisp appearance. Employers actually prefer a basic style. Be sure to include some white space here. It makes your resume easier to read. It is preferable to use a smaller font, probably a size 10, thereby opening up margins and having some white space, then to use a larger font size 12 with dense text. Let's move on. The next is the use of templates. Many word processing applications give you resume templates. As we've discussed, we already know what templates are from a previous slide. It is suggested that you do not use these. This also we've discussed. Instead, type your resume from scratch using the guidelines provided in the slides that we've discussed. Templates often result in a cluttered kind of an appearance and can create scanning and electronic nightmares. And these are difficult to manipulate when you need to tailor your layout to your individual situation. Now we shall look at the resume format specifications. A key here is proofreading of the resume. So you have to proofread. Proofread is once you're done writing the resume, you need to check for errors. That's called as proofreading. So review critically and proofread. This is one of the important elements. Employers state that there's nothing that rules out a candidate faster than if they have a spelling or a grammatical mistake. So in this context, it's important, it's quintessential for the candidates to proofread their resume carefully and ask others to review it as well. Find several objective individuals to critique your resume for content. So you need to find critics who will have a third person view, who will have a neutral view, who will look at your resume and immediately be able to find some errors related to grammatical or logical reasoning. So there are various career related websites. We've already mentioned a few, such as monster.com, Naukri.com, shine.com, indeed.com, wherein you can go and you can get your resumes proofread. So these are the websites which are available to assist you with this purpose. And the alumni, so your friends from before, are also another good resource. The people who've passed out from your organization, or sorry, your academic organization or institute. Review the spelling, spacing and use of the italics and bold font. Do not rely on a spell check. A word may be spelled correctly but may not be the word you want to use. So you can use spell check for mistakes of the, you can say, spelling, but if it's more logical or grammatic, you need to review it yourself or ask some critics to do it. From the context of proofreading the resume, edit ruthlessly is the next point. What it simply means is you need to edit unnecessary things, remove them, reduce them. Someone once said that words are a lot like inflated money. The more of them that you use, the less each one of them is worth. So if you are using many words, the effectiveness is lost. That's what it means. Go through your entire resume just as many times as it takes. Search out and eliminate all unnecessary words and sentences and even paragraphs. So you might, once you get into this habit, after a few edition sessions, you will realize that you've put a lot of unnecessary things onto your resume, which actually does not add any value to it. Now we shall take a look at the online, the electronic and the scannable resume types. To maximize your job search opportunities, prepare your resume to be emailed, scanned or posted on the internet. More and more employers are using technology to help them reach qualified candidates. If you go to any website of any prominent IT company, any prominent manufacturing company, the banking sector, the insurance and the other financial sectors, you'll find most of the organizations have their own websites. Many of them do have their own blogs and are actively, on LinkedIn. So whenever you think of creating a resume, always think of posting it on such, sites. So they post jobs on the internet so that you can apply online. So they also, are trying to pull candidates from online. They encourage you to send your resume by email. So this is extremely important. In this context, some employers scan your paper resumes using specific keywords as search criteria. So there is a parsing software which is available. Parsing is nothing but it parses or searches for keywords and it pulls out the resumes which have important keywords parsed. So if your resume is to be submitted electronically or scanned, a traditional style of resume will not stand up to search engines and will most likely be overlooked. So it won't be parsed properly, it won't figure in the searches or the queries. This point has been discussed in a very brief manner in an earlier slide, the need to prepare two e-resumes. The first is an e-resume with formatting. This appears identical to your hard copy resume and contains formatting such as the boldface, lists with bullet points and tabbed indentations. There are two key differences from your hard copy resume. First, add a keyword list. Second, save your document in rich text format. This allows the employer to download or open the document on the other end without compromising the formatting. So what happens is many a times if you save a Word document normally and if it's been opened, from the web browser or probably, sorry, from a particular mailing software, the formatting is lost. In fact, if you upload certain things to the Google Drive and somebody else downloads them from there, you will find many a times the formatting is lost. So if the formatting is lost, all your efforts will be lost. Some of the recruiters might not even realize that it's not your fault. That is the fault of the software application. So in order to prevent this, save the document in rich text format. The second type of resume or e-resume is an e-resume without formatting, or it is a plain text resume as opposed to a rich text one, which we recommended the use of in the last slide. In this document, it's important to remove all of your formatting. That's the bold, the italics, the lines, bullets, tabs. Clean up the layout of this resume so that it is easy to read. Use this resume if you're pasting the text into the body of an email message, or if you're posting it online in a database that does not accept formatted resumes. So if you've noticed, there's a very logical inclination, a logical, you can say, meaning behind creating these two e-resumes and posting them as per their requirements. The next point is use of keywords. We've already discussed this briefly again in previous slides. Let's quickly look at it. In both resumes that we discussed in the last couple of slides, assemble a keyword list. You can include this as an addendum at the end of your resume. Okay, addendum is extra document which you've added, or an extra list. Incorporate the keywords throughout your resume in the text of your descriptions, or work them into a summary of qualifications at the beginning of your document. Let's move on. Keywords need to be industry specific. Research the industry and the job in which you are interested to determine the keywords to include. You can do this by reviewing the job postings and job descriptions in newspapers, online listings, and employer websites. Analyze the descriptions which you've collected from the above sources and identify the top skills, the keywords, and industry terms that employers will recognize. So this gives you a ready reckoner of what is required by the industry, by specific employers, and hence whatever you write based on this will quickly resonate, will be in compliance and cognizance with the requirements posted by these particular employers. Here we again discuss about the use of keywords. Generally, keywords include nouns and buzzwords like manager, editor, or computer programmer. A keyword section can appear at the top of your resume, after your contact information, or at the end of your resume. It should ideally be about 30 words in length. Now let's take a look at the online, electronic, and scannable resumes, the do's and don'ts for electronic resumes. Here, through the use of this particular diagrammatic table, we look at the formatting first. So the first featured are the do's. So do use 12-point font size. Okay, you can also use a simple font like Times New Roman or Arial. Do justify your text to the left, avoid tabs, and keep a 1-inch margin. Do save your resume in plain text. Do leave a blank line after each job description, and do use a separate line for each heading and address. So these are the formatting do's for an electronic resume. The next list is do use capital letters to distinguish headings. Do list your name at the top, followed by the address and contact information, then the keyword summary. Now let's look at a few do nots. In this case, do not use columns or tabs. Do not use a parenthesis around an area code. Many of the reasons why we are using a do not is probably they will not be scanned properly because of them being in an electronic nature. There will be a clutter. Do not use slashes, example design slash develop. Do not use italics bold, underlining, shadows, graphics or reverse type, as these won't be recognized when they're electronically scanned. Do use, now we are in terms of the content, do use keywords, do use nouns in your keyword section, do use action verbs to describe your work experience, do list all computer related skills, do limit the number of screens to 5, do spell out acronyms. In the context of production and mailing, do send your resume and cover letter via email in just one file. Let's move on. Now let's take a look at the most popular formats of resumes that we have. The first being the chronological resume. This format presents facts in a reverse chronological order. What we mean by reverse chronological order is that the information which is latest will appear first and then move in a descending order. So if you've completed a diploma from Wellinkers in finance, a PGDBM, that will come first and your school SSC percentage or grade will come last. Start from the present job or position and move date wise backwards. So if you are an experienced professional who's done 3 or 4 jobs, so start with the present job and then move date wise backwards. This type of resume is mostly popular in many countries around the world, including India, including the US and many prominent European countries. With this resume format, the problem what occurs at times is with the filling up of gaps. So if there is a particular gap, let us say 3 months, in 2011 you had taken a gap, you had quit a job and you were on the search for a new job, but for 3 months you could not land a job. So filling that particular gap becomes a kind of problem with this structured type of resume. The next resume is a functional type of resume. This format allows you to organize your accomplishments and skills in the functions that you have performed. So it's different from a chronologically sequenced kind of a resume. If you have worked in any organization, the skill and expertise can be enlisted as functions here, as you can see through this particular diagram. So here we have different parts, including the title, the summary, experience, the work history, education and training, and the volunteer work. So it's a functional way. The next is a targeted type of a resume. This format has the primary focus on the specific jobs which has been targeted, which just holds information relevant to the target. No matter what format you choose, it would provide the best format for you to portray your most relevant skills. You need to first mention what is required and what you need to offer. Matching your skills and requirements does significantly help you to get a call for the interview in this particular context. The next popular format is that of the creative type of resume. This format basically requires you to present your skills and qualifications in the most creative form. Your resume has to be creative, not created. It means that it should not create false facts. The format for a creative resume is most suitable for jobs which involve creativity. The generally accepted approach is to be creative when submitting the resumes. For building such resumes, the job seeker needs to be aware that the employee would be verifying the facts mentioned on the resume. The next format is the gimmickry type of resume. The primary purpose of this type of resume is also to get the attention of the prospective employer. When your background does not fit the position, emphasize skills and experiences that would contribute to success in the job under consideration. When you do not have the experience or skill directly required for the particular job, you can mention your skills which are most relevant for that particular job. So it's a gimmickry, as the name goes, you are exaggerating, you are doing a gimmickry, you are emphasizing certain things which probably might not be relevant to the job, but which might be attractive or as a gimmick to the recruiters. Now, this entire length of time we have been discussing about the resumes, or also called as the curriculum vitae. But now we shall look at what is a cover letter, and let's discuss essentials of cover letter and why is it required. So basically, a cover letter is a very sensitive document. It's different from a resume, okay, it's a different sheet as well. The primary purpose of this document is to put some flesh and bones on your resume to give it more, you can say, appeal. The cover letter you will add will demonstrate your writing style. The way you write your cover letter will show that you have all the qualities needed to do the job in an effective manner. So cover letter is something which is different from your resume. The cover letter thus acts as a very crucial supplement to your resume. The way you write your cover letter will decide if the recruiter will look at your resume or not, because the cover letter comes in front of the resume. It's a very short piece of document, so the words have to be carefully chosen. Now, how should a cover letter look is the topic we shall discuss here. A cover letter is a formal document which works as a supplement. That's what's been discussed before. It should give the employer a reason to look at the resume. So it's very important for you to ensure that it is the most convincing piece of formal document which you may have created. It should have just 3 to 5 bulleted points leading to the resume. Let's move on. Remember, if the cover letter does not speak well, the resume will not be read. So it's important to understand this particular fact. Be sure to check out the wealth of books about cover letters and resumes located on the internet websites. As mentioned, there are many job related Indian websites which provide valuable information on this as well. Okay, so this is the section or the area where you mention your qualities and skills. In this context, you may possess numerous skills, but the ones you need to mention are the ones which the potential employer would be looking for. Your cover letter must effectively describe your skills as your selling points in maximum 2 to 3 paragraphs. When it comes to closing the cover letter, always close the cover letter with a promise of action. Let's discuss the use of references from the context of the cover letter. While getting a reference sheet ready, ensure that you keep the following points in mind. The document for the reference sheet should go along with the resume. Always carry the reference sheet when you have to attend an interview. Do not attach the reference sheet with the cover letter and the resume, so it's a separate sheet. The reference sheet should be presented separately on request, as I just mentioned. Now let's take a look at certain resume writing tips. The first being, know the purpose of your resume. So what is the basic purpose of the resume? Okay, certain places the resume can take the purpose of a gimmickry, as we've seen. Some places it is used to show your creativity, like certain jobs which are creative in nature, like a graphics designer or a logo designer or an animation creator. Certain places they are important to highlight the key achievements that you've done as a leader. Let us say you're a mid-level manager in a finance position is applying for a job to a higher mid-level. So his resume should speak volumes of what he has done in a supervisory role. Let us say if it's a credit card person, okay, let us say HDFC Finance, a person is a mid-level manager and he wants to apply in HSBC Bank as a senior mid-level, let us say at a general manager level. So he needs to focus on the kind of supervisory achievements, the kind of analytical thinking that he has, the kind of numbers that he's produced. Okay, so all these things need to be shown, and that should be a part of the purpose of the resume. Also, we need to back up the qualities and strengths through the resume. Make sure to use the right keywords. Of course, no mention is required because we've spoken a lot. Use effective titles. Proofread it twice. Use bullet points. Where are you going is important. So, what is the flow? Put the most important information first. Attention to the typography. That is there any typo errors you need to check? You need to check the font styles. Do not include no kidding information. Explain the benefits of your skills. Avoid any negative tones or overtones when you write a resume. Achievements should be focused or should be written in a way instead of responsibilities. No pictures. Use numbers as I just mentioned in the HDFC example. One resume for each employer. So you need to customize your resumes for each employer. Identify the problems of the employers for which you could provide solutions. Avoid age discrimination. You don't need to list all your work experiences. This has been explained before. Go with what you have got rather than exaggerating some things. Some other tips include sell yourself effectively by using keywords, by using the right kind of language, by using the correct cover letter. You can do this. Don't include irrelevant information. Use Mr. and Ms. if possible or appropriate. Sorry, if appropriate. Refrain from lying or exaggeration, because if there is something which you exaggerate, like a language proficiency, and you don't even know the basic words, then even though your interview has gone well till that time, still people might reject you. Keep the salary in mind. Okay, analyze the job ads. Get someone else to review your resume. Use it to prepare, or probably prepare at the max 2 pages, 1 page if preferable. Use action verbs. We've already seen what these are. Use a good printer so that the quality of print is very good. Again, don't put any hobbies. Update your resume regularly. Mention who you worked with. Don't scatter information or no scattered information. Make the design flow with white space. List all your positions. No jargon or slang. We've already seen what jargon is. Slang is again a common language which probably might be understood by some sectors, some segments of society, maybe in your local regional district, but not outside. Careful with sample resume templates. We've already discussed this point as well. Create an email proof formatting. Remove your older or obsolete work experiences. The next being no fancy design details. No pronouns to be used. Don't forget the basics. Consider getting professional help. What do you do if you have gaps in your work experience? So you need to address those gaps well. So this is a reflective question which you need to sit and find a viable solution to. Another reflective question is, what if you have a fragmented, scrambled up work history with lots of short-term jobs? Let us say you worked 6 months in a place, the place shut down, it's not your fault. After that, a couple of months you did not have a job. Next, you landed up with a job, but probably after a year down the line, or you understand that your unit is shutting down and you are moved to another part of the company, again a change, and so on. So this is a fragmented, a scrambled up work history. So you are the best person to figure out how well you could answer these questions. What's the best way to impress an employer is another reflective or an introspective question. And what if your job title does not reflect your actual level of responsibility? So this is another reflective kind of question. Well, friends, we've reached the end of this particular chapter, in which our focus was on developing or building an effective or a good resume. Now, we've seen that there are many elements which go into the resume. There are many styles, there is the content itself, there are many formats to the resume, the prominent ones being the chronological one, the targeted one, the gimmickry, the creative one, okay, or the functional one. We've also taken a look at what a cover letter is, what is its significance, what is the significance of a reference list, and we've also looked at certain do's and don'ts for electronic and scannable kind of resumes. And finally, we've seen tips for writing a good resume. So in this way, we complete this particular chapter. Thank you.